name is
what?
My name is
who?
My name is
his name's Sadie.
Hi. My name is
huh?
My name is
what?
My name is
And we are joined once again on The Scoop today by Eric Strack of MinnesotaSportsFan.com, taking a look at the Minnesota sports scene here today. Eric, as always, pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, Seth.
We've got a lot to talk about here today, and it'll kind of coincide with what we had a chance to talk about yesterday on your show. So a little bit of a kind of jump from that to this, but still plenty of interesting things going on here in Minnesota. I would encourage listeners, if they want to see me on camera, a little bit of a shock, so be ready for that, but make sure to check out MinnesotaSportsFan.com for the Minnesota Sports Fan podcast from yesterday. Had a chance to talk to Darren Wolfson, A-plus from Darren, so A-plus from you as well. That was a lot of fun last night.
I do my best amateur self. That's all I can do.
Eric, let's look at the Vikings a little bit as we now have the offensive coordinator position. We've got it finalized. Kevin Stefanski's back after an unsuccessful bid to become the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He is back, and as we kind of talked about a little bit last night, I want to get your reaction to it because I don't really know how to feel about Stefanski being back because we don't really know that much about him. Are you glad that he's back, or did you think the Vikings should maybe go a different direction to try to revive this offense?
I'm glad that he's back. I just, you know, like we talked about last night, Zimmer's kind of hooking his wagon to whoever his offensive coordinator was going to be for 2019, because if his offensive coordinator does really well, the offense looks good, it looks efficient, his defense is probably going to be good like it always is, and we should, you know, make a playoff run, hopefully a deep playoff run. But if the offense struggles like it did this year, then we're probably looking at the same type of thing as we saw this season. And if that happens, then Zimmer's probably on his way out. Spielman might be on his way out, and thus the offensive coordinator's gone probably too. You know, maybe not Stefanski because he's been here forever, but any other offensive coordinator. So the way I see it is Zimmer is putting his future on the line. If he wants Stefanski, then I'm in. Looking at the other candidates, looking at the other guys that were rumored, Malarkey, Cutter, you know, those guys don't really intrigue me to any, you know, extended circumstance. So for me, you might as well bring back Stefanski. Kirk likes him. He likes Kirk. Hopefully they can figure out some sort of offense that will play to Kirk's strengths, because Kirk is the type of quarterback where he needs an offense that's going to play to his strengths. Now we need to go out and get some offensive linemen this offseason who can block for him. Probably going to come mostly from the draft. I would, again, we've talked about this, I would highly recommend trading a big trade, a big name blockbuster type like a Xavier Rhodes. If you can get a good offensive lineman or a high draft pick for him, that's something that I would seriously look at. So, you know, I don't necessarily dislike the hire. I don't love the hire. I just don't know what else I would have done if I were in their shoes. Now we just got to kind of go forward.
Another interesting wrinkle to this, as we are still trying to figure out the offensive line coach, and it seems like we're getting some finalists for that job, including Packers offensive coordinator and interim head coach Joe Philbin, who I did not know that he was an offensive line coach really until he worked his way up into Green Bay's offensive coordinator position. So it seems like he would be a strong hire. And they're also looking at Green Bay's offensive line coach, their actual offensive line coach as well. Zone blocking being the common theme for what those two have done. And, I mean, you look at Green Bay's offensive line, they do get away with a lot of holding, but they have been pretty good here over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. So that's not a bad place to pull from.
No, I mean, it kind of follows what Zimmer likes to do, right? I mean, Philbin has been a head coach at Miami. He's been an offensive coordinator. You know, I wrote about this last night when the rumors were circulating that they had gotten permission to interview him. This is a demotion, you know, if you just look at it straight from, you know, he's been a head coach. He's been an offensive coordinator. There's rumors that the Packers want him to come back as offensive coordinator and assistant head coach to their rookie head coach that they just hired. So, you know, for him to look at an offensive line job with us is interesting in its own right. Maybe he says that the Packers maybe don't want him as the offensive coordinator over there. I'm not sure. I just don't know why you would come and interview for an offensive line job if you're supposedly already an offensive coordinator. So we'll see where that whole thing goes, but it follows that type of trajectory. It's clear that Mike Zimmer wants as many football, you know, masterminds as he probably sees it in the room at one time. He likes head coaches. He likes guys who are able to run their not only their position, but possibly put input in other places. He talked about it with Sperano, how much Sperano brought to the table, not just for the offensive line, but for the whole stability of the offense and for the whole stability of the team, right? Zimmer needs that, I think, on offense, because he wants to focus more on the defense. The more he can focus on the defense, the better the team is. If he's having to put a lot of effort into the offense, I don't think our team is doing as well, because I don't think he prefers that, to be honest.
Eric, looking at what needs to happen for the Vikings, obviously, offensive line, the biggest portion of focus in the offseason and in the draft. Any other areas that you would like to see addressed for this team as we get closer?
You know, the linebacker position will be interesting. Barr is likely going to leave, which leaves us with one legitimate starting linebacker in Eric Kendricks. You know, from there you can argue Wilson had a good year, sure, but I don't know how much that hurts you necessarily in a 4-3, you know, base scheme, just because you're playing out of the nickel so often. But I'm guessing that Zimmer is really going to want to address the linebacker position if he indeed does not get Anthony Barr back. You know, I talked about Xavier Rhodes. I think the safety positions, I think he likes Harris, you know, Curse, playing in that large nickel package. I think he likes that. On offense, you know, it really is just our offensive line. You know, depending on what happens with Rudolph's contract, you might see something at tight end, but it's mostly offensive line, maybe some linebackers. You know, I guess you could even look at Sheldon Richardson on the defensive line. What do they do with him? Do they re-sign him? There's differing opinions on what type of year he had. So, you know, there will be some changes, but first I think is going to be the whole coaching staff for the most part. Let's get that nailed down, and then we'll see where they go from there.
Looking at the Timberwolves, as the Wolves started the Ryan Saunders era with a win against Oklahoma City, 119-117. Let's first get your reaction, because we haven't had a chance to discuss it. Your reaction to Tom Thibodeau being fired over the weekend?
Yeah, you know, it was shocking when I saw it happen. It was one of those where I think I even said it out loud. Oh my God. Like, it was shocking. It wasn't shocking. Everybody has kind of said this since it happened. It wasn't shocking that Tom Thibodeau got fired. It was shocking that he got fired in the middle of the season after, what, like a 20-point victory, just a skate-through victory against Los Angeles. That, I think, is what was so surprising. And Tibbs was obviously shocked. He was joking around in the press conference after the game with reporters, which he doesn't do very often after a big victory. He probably thought that the ship was starting to move in the right direction, and in come his assistant GM and I think it was the CEO or something, I don't know, came in there and he was out. And so that was interesting to me. But, you know, we talked about this last night. I think Glenn Taylor has an idea in mind that he wants to give Ryan Saunders, because he loves him so much and thinks he's a great young basketball mind, he wants to see what he can do with a young team that, you know, loves him as much as he does. And if he can make miracles and make magic happen, then, you know, who knows what the future is. And if not, then, you know, if you listen to the podcast, you can essentially hear Darren Wolfson tell us it's between him and Fred Hoiberg, pretty much. So if he doesn't quite do it, you probably see him as the assistant head coach to Fred Hoiberg next year.
One interesting angle I wanted to look at with you, Andrew Wiggins, and we've talked at length. I'm sure we've beaten it to death on this show. Just with the inconsistencies that he shows being a max player, it was really eye-opening to see a little bit of something different from him, though, in that game against Oklahoma City. In terms of the rebounds, he had 10 rebounds. I can't remember the last time he had over 4 in a game without, like, really looking that closely at it. But is Ryan Saunders a coach that maybe can unlock the full potential of the Andrew Wiggins conundrum?
I think that the entire Timberwolves fan base is, you know, praying and hoping for that, because our future is based off of Andrew Wiggins, is what it comes down to. We've used up, you know, you have 2 max contracts that you can sign in this league the way that the salary cap works, unless you have 3 guys that are under bird rights and allow you to go over the salary cap to sign them. Because with Cat and with Wiggins on the roster, it is going to be really difficult to make the money work to sign another max player out of free agency. It has to be somebody that comes up with us, and we talked about this. That's what hurts the most about Jimmy Butler leaving. We had his bird rights. We would have been able to sign him over the cap and make a 3-headed monster. Without Butler, without having a third real piece to a big 3, the only way that the Timberwolves advance their franchise over the next handful of years is if Andrew Wiggins can be a top 20, top 15 player in the NBA. And with having Cat's offensive prowess, it's going to be hard for Wiggins to achieve that if he's not contributing in other places, right? He's never going to be the focus of the offense most of the time. So he's going to have huge games, and he's going to put up big offensive numbers. But to be that guy, to be a top 15 player, he's going to have to get rebounds. He's going to have to play defense. He's going to have to add to his game. And if he does that, then, you know, the sky's the limit for the Timberwolves as we watch the rest of the West kind of break up their super teams. But if that doesn't happen, then we're in for a long 5 years while we pay Andrew Wiggins a whole butt ton of money.
Ugh, that made me a little nauseous. Just thinking about the notion of having to do that for a guy who is averaging like 17-2-1 a game.
Yes. But again, if we have that. Timberwolves fans kind of have that hope now, right? Ryan mm-hmm. and moving on from Tibbs has given us a little bit of hope, especially after that first game. Like, maybe we will see a change in Wiggins. Maybe he does grow up. Maybe he has grown up over the last 2 years, but just wasn't able to show it under Tibbs' shadow. You know, we have that little bit of hope now. And, you know, I'm not saying it can't happen. We all know that he has the talent to do so. He just has to bring the type of effort and the type of intensity that he brought the other night, every single night. And if he can do that, then Andrew Wiggins will be just fine. And if this is just a blip on the radar, then he's letting his teammates down, he's letting Minnesota down, and he's letting Ryan Saunders down, to be honest, because Ryan Saunders is going to need him the rest of this year to contribute in a large way if he's going to win this head coaching job.
Yep, I fully agree there. Let's talk a little Gopher basketball here as well. Today the Gophers taking on Maryland and had a pretty flat performance against the Terrapins. More of a it exposed kind of what has been this underlying issue with this Gophers team all season long. And it's one of those where you don't want to, I don't know if you want to go full panic right away, but at the same time, that that was not a very inspiring performance by the Gophers, considering they had the lead through most of the first half and just ended up losing it, and they just looked like they were incapable of getting anything to go their way after that.
Yeah, you know, it was frustrating watching them play in the second half. You know, they were stifled by Maryland went to, it was a 3-2, 1-2-1 type of hybrid zone on the defensive end, and it really pushed the Gophers to shoot the ball from the outside. And Gabe Kelscher early on in the second half was in foul trouble, I believe, with 3 fouls. And with him on the bench, there was just nobody to really hit shots. And when that's happened this year, it's happened a couple times, it's kind of panic mode for the Gophers. They're not really sure how to break down that zone, and they're not good enough from the outside to really break it down with shooting and force him back into a man-to-man. And the Maryland coach said it after the game, that the Gophers are just too talented. They could not stay with them in the first half in man-to-man. He didn't go to the zone because he thought it would stifle the Gophers. He went to the zone because their man-to-man just could not keep up with the Gopher offense, because we have so much athleticism. But to balance that athleticism, to really be able to take advantage of all the talent that we have on the team, we have to be able to hit shots from the outside, especially if they're going to go to a zone defensive scheme, and we are yet to show that we can do that consistently. And if I were a Big Ten team, I would come right into games going zone. I wouldn't even waste any time on my man-to-man against the Gophers. I would go straight to zone, make them shoot me or shoot us out of that zone. That would be the only way to play them. But the Gophers have Rutgers, who was 8-6 on the season, Illinois after that, who's 4-11, and then Penn State, who's 7-8. So as long as we can bounce back and play the basketball we've been playing all season, we should be 15-3 and 5-2 in the Big Ten going into Michigan to play the number 2 Wolverines.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Gophers bounce back from this. But I don't know, as we more alluded to last night, there are some other issues with the point guard situation that I think that you agree with, that are really holding this team back. So until they can get that addressed, it just seems like something that teams are going to easily be able to pick apart as we go forward. And yeah, good luck with Michigan. They are absurd this season after losing the title game.
Yeah, they are unbelievable. They're 15-0 right now, ranked second in the nation nationally. But you don't have to beat Michigan in Michigan, right? You've got to win the 3 games that you should win before you go into Michigan, and then you have Iowa at home, and then you're back to your Illinois at home again after that. So there are a lot of good teams in the Big Ten. So you got to win the games that you should win, and unlike we did against Maryland, you have to beat the team. The coin toss games, you have to win those at home. And that's not what we did against Maryland, but we did beat Wisconsin at Wisconsin before that, you know, kind of allowing us a little bit of wiggle room. So we're okay now. It's not panic mode yet, but you're right. I'm worried about the point guard position. And at the end of the day, for this season, all we can do this season, Isaiah Washington has to get better. That is the only way that the Gophers will make any sort of run in the NCAA tournament. And it's the only way that's really going to stop him from either having to ride pine, possibly for the rest of his Gopher career, or more likely transfer. I don't really see him riding pine, but we have some good Gopher or some good transfer point guards who are going to be ready to play next year. And both of them have Power 5 conference freshman experience, where they played for both Vanderbilt and Pittsburgh. You know, Jelly Fam is going to have to be better. He's going to find himself either elsewhere or on the bench for the rest of his 2 years here after this season.
wrapping up here for today, I'm going to introduce a bit that we will not have reoccurring. I just will bring it up anytime I feel it's appropriate. And it's going to be a simple yes or no from both of us. And that'll be it. It is going to be called, will the Twins sign anyone of note between this week and next week?
Okay.
So let's officially introduce the will the Minnesota Twins sign anyone between this week and next week? Eric, your thoughts?
Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna go no.
I just think, you know, will it be this week? Will it be the week after? I don't know, but the Twins have one more signing in them. I'm not saying it's going to be, you know, when you say of note, you know, is it going to be Bryce Harper? No.
Probably not.
But will it be we need back end of the bullpen right now. Could it be a legitimate 8th, 9th inning reliever? Yes. Could it be a legitimate top 3 starting pitcher? I think that's less likely, but I do expect them to make some sort of move at pitcher still, starting pitcher. So, you know, I think there will be a move. There's some moves yet to be made by the Twins.
Okay. We'll see what happens there, but as always, a pleasure to chat some sports here on a weekly basis once again. We'll see how things play out with everything going on here in Minnesota. And again, as I did at the beginning of the show, I'll again echo, make sure to check out the Minnesota Sports Fan Podcast. Eric, a great host. We had some fun too with now what I'm doing today in that being the host, you have so much going on that don't really necessarily get a chance to just kind of sit back and enjoy. So now you're doing more of that today. I'm doing more of the behind the scenes stuff. It was flipped last night. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate you having me on, and we'll have to do that again soon for sure. We will we'll catch up with you again next week. We'll see where things are at with the Minnesota sports scene.
All right. Can't wait, Seth. Thanks.